Today is July 1st, 2015, and this is episode number 313 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, Tweedledee's better half, Tweedledum. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. If you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
Better looking, too.
That's funny.
Well, you know, I just call him like I see him. Yes. You're the better looking one.
Fair enough.
By far.
Fair enough. Let's see here. We just, we had TMO Camp 2015 last week.
That was awesome. And it was so great to get to spend real time with you as opposed to what we have to deal with here at the office where they won't let us step through the glass.
It's true. It's true. And it was a different kind of time because, you know, most of the time when we see each other, it's for an event.
Right. And so we're focused on whatever we're doing for the event. But at our TMO summer camp, we were able to get together and just hang out and do stuff together. Just us.
It was awesome. And it was the first time we've actually had a newsroom.
It was. And that actually was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
That was really
it
cool.
It was nice to have everybody. We're a virtual company, so we're scattered all over the country.
Yes, except for last week.
Except for last week. So yeah, it was a good thing, and we've been doing this for a very, very long time. So I'm glad we started doing it. Yeah, this happened because Macworld Expo went away. You know, that was our time to get together. We would get together. We would cover the trade show. We'd have dinner at night. We'd chat with each other over meals and maybe over drinks at the end of the night, mid afternoon, whatever, whatevs.
Right, whatevs,
whatevs. But I still wish that Macworld was a viable concept, but it's gone. It shut down. So you know, getting together like this was a good thing.
It was really good, and you were so awesome. You got up in the morning and you went and got us drinks at the coffee shop.
I made you breakfast, brother.
And you made breakfast. You made pancakes I can eat. You made Jeff safe pancakes.
Yeah, but I didn't I made full of Jeff poison pancakes for everybody else.
Yeah, whatever. You made Jeff safe pancakes for me. That was so cool.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed them.
I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, it was fun to talk awesome. For everybody. So, that was the end of our last week. And then at the beginning of this week, we had, yesterday. Let's just call it yesterday.
Okay, we'll call it yesterday.
We had a ton of Apple announcements.
We
releases,
did.
Product releases.
Yeah, so we started off with iOS 8.4 coming out. Mm-hmm. Followed by OS 10 Yosemite 10.10.4. Mm-hmm. And rolling along with those, we had the official launch of Apple Music. Yep. And then later in the day, we got iTunes 12.2 for Mac and PC.
Which mainly added Apple Music to Mac and PC.
Right. Plus, we got a GarageBand update that lets us send our creations into Apple Music if we want.
To Apple Music Connect.
Yes, to Apple Music Connect.
So that's really aimed at artists.
Sure. But it's in there. That's really cool.
Yeah, it is. It's very cool. It's very cool. And there was an iBooks author update too, you know, relatively minor. But what it does is allow people to create ebooks that can be read on the iPhone.
On the iPhone. So while you say relatively minor, for the people that need this, that's actually pretty major.
Yeah,
for sure. So for most of us, minor, but for a subset, that was big news.
It was. So why don't we just kind of keep on this segue here? Keep the segue on topic. And go ahead and talk about Apple Music.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we can do that.
Let's start with reactions.
Well, okay. How about if I start with my reaction, which is that I think this is actually pretty cool overall. I don't know if I'm going to be a full-time Beats One listener. But other than my initial experience where it started off with a duet that had Justin Bieber and I lost all faith in humanity, Beats One has been pretty cool. And the St. Vincent show yesterday, that was actually really cool.
You listened to that one too?
Part of it.
I did too. I listened to it for about an hour. So, you know what, Beats One Radio is a quote-unquote live radio station. I don't really know that it's live, actually.
No, it's live. It's live.
None of that stuff's pre-recorded?
When they replay the shows, of course, that's pre-recorded. Otherwise, they're doing it live. It wouldn't surprise me if some segments are pre-recorded.
My thought is that the way I would set this up would be the professional DJs whom I've hired, i.e., you know, I'm Tim Cook, and I've hired these DJs. Their shows would be live, but the shows where I'm bringing in artists to do a show, like St. Vincent, those would be pre-recorded.
Those may be pre-recorded. But yes, the DJ stuff, that's all live. Which is cool. It's like a total throwback to what radio used to be.
Right. Which is, Sirius, for instance, Sirius and XM Radio, same thing these days. They've been doing live DJs, you know, from the get-go. I like DJs. Let me rephrase that. I like good DJs.
There you go.
I think that a good DJ can bring a lot to music listening experience. And of course, I was raised in the era of live DJs.
Right.
So, you know, this definitely could be a, you know, nature versus nurture kind of thing. But to me, a good DJ can add energy to a show, can add information. I remember there was an AM station of all things in the 80s in Dallas, Texas that played, it was all classic music. And this was, it was all 60s stuff that was not quote unquote classic rock.
Okay.
And so, you know, stuff that really wasn't on any other station. This is the kind of stuff they were playing. They'd play like a lot of 60s psychedelia, a lot of one hit wonders. You know, just a lot of really interesting stuff. And several of the DJs on that station were really interesting, and they always had all this great information about songs, or usually about the last song played, or the first song that was about to be played. And I love that. I love getting that context. I love getting that additional information. And you know, that's one way a DJ can be helpful, but then a DJ, like I said, they can add energy to a show. They can you know, there are a lot of DJs, of course, that who had a shtick of being goofy, like Dr. Demento.
Right.
I that's not my personal cup of tea, but you know, a lot of people like that sort of thing too. I mean, just different DJs can bring a lot of different things to a music listening experience, above and beyond the fact that they're actually choosing what they're playing.
Right. Yeah. And it can draw you in to the show, as opposed to just being this passive thing where you're hearing sound in the background.
Right.
And that's what a lot of stations on terrestrial radio are for me now. They're just some sort of background noise, and there's no human touch to the station. Well, in many cases, there's literally no human touch, because they just have systems stacking up songs and cranking them out.
Right.
But, I kind of like what they're doing with Beats One, and I like the real DJ thing happening. That's kind of cool.
And it's usually going to be interesting when they're having an artist do the DJ stuff. I listened to the St. Vincent show for about an hour. She's an amazing musician. And she was playing a lot of stuff that I like, which is why I kept it on. And she was interacting with a young girl who had written in a letter tour. Did you listen to that part?
I missed that part.
So that's interesting because that's about all I heard. So the girl wrote her a letter about, I forget what the premise was, but this was the winning letter that was chosen. And so St. Vincent ended up speaking with her about her letter and about music and about what she likes in music and sort of reacting off that and going back and forth between the two of them. And that would be interspersed with the music that she was actually playing. And it was interesting. It was because you know, in that particular case, we were seeing an artist be a real person with another real person,
which is really cool.
To me, that's cool. I don't know. It may not be your cup of tea, but no, to me, it was cool.
Cool.
You were metaphorically.
Yes.
Might not be everybody's cup of tea.
But apparently it is our cup of tea,
yeah,
or cups of tea.
And it's always interesting. I mean, having artists guest DJ is certainly not something that Apple invented or Beats One invented. That's decades old at least. When they're picking the music, it can be really interesting to see what it is that they like.
Yeah, I love that insight. And I love getting exposed to music that I wouldn't otherwise hear.
Which
is another reason why I stopped listening to terrestrial radio. It's because there was no discovery for me. It was just the same stuff over and over.
You're right. Corporate radio, as the economics of terrestrial radio stations began to contract, one reaction was for companies to buy up stations in multiple markets and then essentially pipe the same shows to them.
Right.
The big one, of course, is
Clear Channel.
Clear Channel, yes. Those people. And, you know, it homogenizes this thing. You no longer have regional hits.
Right.
You know, you no longer have regional bands. It's a lot harder for local bands to get any kind of airplay, et cetera. You've got the same thing being piped to everybody, which is something that some people like. And in fact, it's actually essentially a central premise of Beats One Radio. Right?
Yes, that's true.
And there are certainly people who enjoy the fact that you can go to, you know, like 102 tends to be 102.3 or 102.1 tends to be a classic rock channel in a lot of markets.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, and there are certainly benefits to that, but you know, it, you have one person, you have the program director who's doing the music for all those markets and it can become kind of homogenized. But then again, like I said, that's essentially the promise of Beats One Radio.
Yes. The difference there is that they are giving us live DJs.
And those DJs are actually doing their own shows.
And they're doing their own shows, and they're scattered around the world. Or at least around a few countries.
Yeah. Yeah, for whatever that's worth, yes.
I think that's worth a lot, because if everyone was, say, in Los Angeles, then everything they're doing, on some level, is going to be...
Oh, yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a really good point. Like, the woman, who's the woman from... who's the UK woman?
Yeah.
I did a story on her. I forget her name now.
I forgot too. But I mean, there you go. She's bringing her London spin to music,
right? And that's the market that she knows. She knows the London underground scene,
right? So that means here I am in Boulder, Colorado, and I'm going to get easy exposure to all this stuff that I wouldn't have otherwise found from the London underground,
right? Julia Adenuga,
yes.
Yeah, she's in. Then there's also Ebro Darden, who's from New York, and of course Zane Lowe, who was a big time DJ and program director over at the BBC One before he was hired away by Apple.
Right. So he's in the United States now. So he's bringing an interesting mix, because he's crossing over cultures in a manner of speaking.
Yeah, and he was born in New Zealand.
And he's born in New Zealand. Okay, there you go. I love the musical diversity that we can get out of people like that.
Now, we have seen people whining about the DJs. They don't want to listen to the DJs. They just want their music.
Right. And these are people that have that are not familiar with what I'll call classic radio.
Well, we presume.
Right. Or they left classic radio because they didn't like having DJs talking.
Yeah. Now, looking at Apple Music, the hashtag Apple Music on Twitter, getting a real mix of people who are whining, complaining, there's whining and there's complaining.
Yeah.
Right. Getting some complaining, some whining, a lot of praise. It's a big mixture. A lot of actually erroneous facts going with the complaints. Like you can't do something when you can actually do something.
Right. Yeah. People confuse, I didn't figure out how to do something with, you can't do something.
Right. And to be fair, if they can't figure out something, there could be a UI problem there.
Sure. And if they're trying to do it on their computer, they have to do it through iTunes. It's given that they have a UI problem.
Did I ever tell you about Gibby Haynes having a radio show in Austin?
No, but I'd love to hear this.
You know who he is?
Yeah.
So for our listeners who may not, Gibby Haynes was the front man, main person in the Butthole Surfers. And he is a little bit eccentric. And for a long time, he had an overnight show in Austin on an alternative radio station in the 90s.
That's cool.
And it was cool. It was weird sometimes, in a good way. He's definitely a character, to be sure.
Yes.
And that was a regular show. That's a little bit different than a guest. I mean, like he had a gig as an overnight DJ on the station, as opposed to it just being a guest spot.
All right. So when you listened to music from Butthole Surfers on the radio, did the DJs have to refer to them as the BH Surfers? Because they did here in, at the time I was in the Denver area. So they did in Denver.
I don't recall ever hearing that.
It always struck me as really weird that the stations were forbidden from saying the band's actual name and had to say BH Surfers.
Well, I mean, there are certainly words in a band's name that it's strange that would trigger that kind of reaction.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's some band names where you just can't say the name on regular radio. But other times it's like, okay, maybe the station managers are a little too uptight.
Fair enough. I've told you the story about meeting them.
No. I want to hear this.
It does not reflect well on me. So I delivered pizza to the Butthole Surfers.
Okay.
Only
this sounds like the beginning of an awesome movie.
or a letter to Penthouse.
Or a letter to Penthouse.
There was this house in my delivery zone, my delivery area. And this would have been the late, could I actually get this right? This might actually have been the late 80s. Yeah, so this would have been the late 80s. And they called it the hippie house, the other drivers did.
Okay.
And they ordered all the time, usually tipped. But they're, you know, they were kind of weird to the people the other people that worked there. And I got my first delivery out there. Young man opens the door, and I see there's a closet right the entryway closet, rather than being stuffed with coats, was stuffed full of guitars.
Okay.
And so, oh, do you guys play? And he goes, yeah. And I said, do you have a band? He goes, yeah. What are you called? Butthole Surfers. That's what he told me.
Uh-huh.
And now, I did not realize that they were an Austin band. This was the 80s. It was before the internet. Please, please laugh at me, mock me, if you will. I did not realize they were an Austin band. To me, a band like the Butthole Surfers had to be from California.
Yep, Yeah, that makes sense because that's where the bands came from. At least that's what we assumed.
Yeah, exactly. Especially crazy, weird bands like the Butthole Surfers. And so he tells me, he says, Butthole Surfers. And I said, well, that name's taken. Why'd you choose that one? I mean, just didn't even occur to me this could actually be the butt, you know, because it's not like I would meet a band that I'd heard about.
Oh my God, this is the best story ever.
And so I thought, that name was taken. Why would you choose that? And, you know, there's noise in the background. There's people waiting for pizza. He's trying to pay me. And apparently all he heard was, why'd you choose that?
Uh-huh.
Right? And he goes, it's just a name, man. It's like, yeah, all right, whatever, dude. Take my money, go away. And it was about 3 months later when a driver whose wife, it was a part-time job for this guy, his wife was a banker. Mm-hmm. And she had sold him a new house. And he told me that that was actually the Butthole Surfers.
Uh-huh.
And I felt so unbelievably stupid. Just unbelievably stupid. And the punchline, though, is about 4 or 5 years later, I'm at a Vespa shop that's long since closed.
Uh-huh.
It was in the neighborhood of Hyde Park in Austin. And I'm at this Vespa shop. And by the way, the young man that answered the door, that was the drummer.
Okay.
For the Butthole Surfers. You may have actually seen him in the video for Jesus Built My Hot Rod. That actually got some airplay back when MTV was a thing.
Okay, okay.
Right, I'm trying to get his name. I can't remember what it is right now because I'm a professional. King Coffee.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it was King Coffee there at the door. And then here I am several years later at this Vespa shop, and walking down the sidewalk is King Coffee.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh my God, here's my opportunity to just
to apologize.
To apologize for being such an idiot. And so I kind of run out on the sidewalk and say, hey man, you know, love you guys. Thanks, man. It's like, do you happen to remember, you know, that I kind of described that? And he's like, yeah, I remember you. It's like, how the heck did my stupidity stick in someone in a musician's mind when, you know, they meet so many people? Right. You know, and especially these guys who were known for doing a lot of drugs. But he said, yeah, I remember you. And I explained, it's like, you know, I just didn't understand. I'm sorry. And you know, just thought you were from California. He's like, ah, it's cool, man. But anyway, it was closure for me.
That's great. This is like a full on play, because you went from victory to defeat to redemption.
It was a journey.
It was a journey, and what an awesome story.
Yeah, not really. I don't know, man.
Oh, no, I just love that. So why'd you pick that name? It's already taken.
It just didn't even enter my mind. I mean, this says so much about me, right? It didn't even enter my mind that these were the actual Butthole Surfers.
That's the best line ever. Oh, my God, I love that.
So anyway.
And even better, they remembered you.
Yeah, he remembered me. Fortunately, the rest of the band was not privy. Although I'm sure he you know, gave the late 80s equivalent of LOL pizza driver.
Probably.
You know. So, yeah, anyway, guest DJs, artists as guest DJs. I like that. I look forward to hearing more. And I'm hoping that we're going to have, like, St. Vincent is definitely not a mainstream artist. So, although, who are the other initial?
Elton John is one of the early ones.
He's kind of mainstream.
Yeah, Pharrell. Well, he's kind of mainstream. Well, hold on. If I happen to go look, okay. If I wasn't making sausage and trying to get to the Tumblr page,
uh-huh,
I could tell you.
Oh, right. We could do this. Apple Music. It's applemusic.tumblr.com. And Tumblr is TUMBLR, in case you're unfamiliar with them. Joshua Hom, Zane Lowe, Ellie Goulding. Zane Lowe is going to interview Eminem. That should actually be interesting. Pharrell has got a video there. Jimmy Iovine and Zane Lowe. Another interview. Looks like we're going to have the Miguel Wildheart might do one. Yeah, so lots of stuff coming up. Hopefully we'll end up seeing some less mainstream people too.
Yeah. Which I think is going to be great.
Yeah, it should be. I'm liking Beats 1 so far. I mean, we have less than a day of acquaintanceship with it.
But in this 24 hours, in the fresh excitement of this new relationship, I'm mm-hmm. really enjoying it so far. We'll see what I say a week from now, and more importantly, a month from now.
Right. Right, or even most importantly, 3 months from now, when it comes time to decide to pay or not.
Right, yeah. So the big thing for me will be, a month from now, am I going into my settings and turning off auto pay so I don't forget?
Right, which we can do, and we have a how-to on how to do that, by the way. So you can sign up for, when you first sign up for the 3 month trial, you are automatically set up to auto pay. Right?
Right.
But you can turn that off. And keep your 3 month thing
for free. Yes, I'll make sure we have a link to that how to in our show notes.
Excellent.
Yeah,
that seems like a good thing. So one of the tweets I saw, by the way, was kind of interesting, and your reaction to it was even more interesting when we were talking about it pre-show. Troy Banning, hopefully he's a listener. I have no idea. He said, took me exactly 12 minutes to become an Apple Music convert. Any song whenever I want without buying? Yes, please.
Right. To which you said, like, that's something new.
Right.
Right. And what I said was that it doesn't matter if it's new or not. We now have the convenience of this being inside the Apple ecosystem.
Well, what you actually said.
Yes, I just paraphrased myself, didn't I?
You did. Poorly, I might add. Because what you said was, like, this is, we're seeing the power of having something like this in Apple's ecosystem.
Wow, that sounds really good.
I know. Well, that's why I took note of it.
Well, I'm glad you remembered exactly what I said, because that's actually really good. I like that.
Right. I just had to make a note to take out my nose blowing noises.
I thought you were calling the geese again. It was your way of saying
I caught a cold on the plane ride back. I caught a cold. Not happy about it.
Hey, I want to point out, for all the events that we have been to together, mm-hmm. this is the first time I have not flown and you have.
That's true.
That is everything true. Is close enough to you that you just drive. Everything's far enough away that I fly, mm-hmm. and yet here we are. Yeah. We got to turn that around, and that was kind of cool, getting to drive you around instead of you driving me around.
It's true. It's true. So Troy's comment, though, and your observation, I think it's interesting. I mean, like I said, this stuff has been around. I mean, Apple is really late to this game of any song, whatever I want without buying.
Yes, they are.
Of course, you're renting.
Yeah, they're so late to this game that they just bought another company and worked from that.
Right. And yet, clearly, to a lot of people, you know, Spotify users will, of course, be a benefit. Pandora fans, RDO, iHeartMusic, all of them, right? Fans of those particular services will be all been out of shape and be pissy about Apple getting credit for inventing things that they didn't actually invent.
But, of course, and that's how it always goes.
But here's the reality. Most of the world, this is new to the most of the world.
Yeah.
It's not new to the echo chamber. You know, it's not new to the people that are really plugged into this sort of stuff, but most people aren't plugged into this sort of stuff yet. But Apple has 800 million credit cards on file.
Right. And most of those people, as of yesterday, suddenly have the ability to be plugged into this.
Right.
That's big.
It is big. It is big. So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. And so let's talk a little bit about actually going through the... Oh, by the way, oh, no. Let's talk about the new icon.
I like the new icon.
Yeah, I like it too. That orange one, I'm glad it's gone.
Yeah, I liked that the orange one stood out so I could find it in my dock.
Yep.
But that's the only reason I thought it was okay.
Now, we found, by the way, that once you installed... So when you install iOS 8.4, you get the new icon.
Yes.
It's just right there because that's the only one that's included. If you're upgrading to iTunes 12.2, the icon in your dock won't change until you launch it from the dock. That's the other thing that we found out this morning.
Right. Yeah.
If you launch it from the Finder.
Yeah, if you launch it from the Finder, the icon dock does not change.
It's still the orange one.
It's still the orange.
But if you launch it from the dock icon will change at that point. And it looks a lot better. I do kind of, I don't know, I wish the colors were a little bit stronger, but it's just so much better than the orange one.
I agree. It's definitely better than the orange one.
So, so much better.
Now, if Apple could only fix the whole application to go along with the new icon.
Well, and it's funny because the interface for Apple Music is I think, okay. It's not, I mean, you know, we've only had a day to play with it. But in our initial day of playing with it, I like the interface for Apple Music. It's just the interface for iTunes, the iTunes Store, and My Music, and going back and forth. That's the part that's just still really miserable.
It is.
It hasn't changed.
It's painfully bad.
It is painfully bad. So what we're seeing here is there's no Apple Music button in iOS or iTunes 12.2.
You're right. Yeah, we have My Music playlists for you, new, radio, connect, and iTunes Store.
And the for you, new, radio, and connect, those are the Apple Music features.
Right.
And a lot of this is still a lot like Beats. So, like, you know, you have those bubbles where you choose. You can basically train. You start your training from the very beginning with Apple Music, and you choose acts. You choose genres that you like or love.
Yes.
However many you want. And then from there, they'll give you artists, and you click once or tap once for artists you like, twice for artists that you love, and you can there's a more artists button, so you can actually keep bringing in artists until you actually get it all full, and then Apple Music will suggest bands for you.
And I'm really impressed with the suggestions it's coming up with.
Yeah. Yeah, it is pretty interesting, although something about my choices included the Monkees as an end result, and Sonny and Cher, so I don't know.
Well, I do want to point out that your title at one point was Daydream Believer.
It's true. It's true. And Homecoming Queen.
And Homecoming Queen.
Right. That's a very good point. And so this is all under the For You section. And so these are basically personalized playlist, album suggestions, that sort of thing. You can also search for albums by using, if you click or tap in the search field, you'll see tabs for My Library or Apple Music.
Which is kind of cool, because if you decide you're going to search Apple Music, you get to see a lot more than you previously did. Meaning, instead of just getting a list of stuff that you can buy, you know, it's bringing up all this content that's available through Apple Music.
Yeah.
Including full albums.
Including full albums. So, you know, you search for a band, search for an album, search for a song title, and then you can turn around and listen to it as a full album. I don't know. We had to look for that.
It wasn't hard to find.
It wasn't hard to find at all.
But we did have to
look for it. And that's kind of interesting. But that's, I mean... Like, there's no... Does Apple have a... This is how you use Apple Music?
Yes. It's going to... Well, it's part of how to use the new iTunes. And that shows up when you first launch iTunes 12.2. And if you want to see that again, go to the help menu and choose iTunes Quick Tour.
Well, if I'd watched that, we might not have had to look. Take a quick tour. Okay, I'm clicking.
And I do like that for the quick tour thing, it's not just a once-off deal. You can go back and watch the quick tour thing again. And it's like 10 slides showing you different things.
I see. View your music by song, out of genre, millions of song, anytime this is for you and new, your modern day mixtape, that would be playlists, what's up next, that's not really new, radio tailor for you, that's the Beats One stuff, shop with a click, no, I'm still not seeing a search.
All right, well, the search field is prominent. And looks very much like a search field.
And it's where it's always been.
It's where it's always been, yeah.
So that's good. The new stuff is basically just similar to what you would have seen in the iTunes store before.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just lots and lots of new stuff. And then, of course, there's the radio button, which is Beats One up top with any custom beats. Radio stations that you'd already created or listened to if you'd chosen one before.
Right.
Right. And then featured stations, which is what Apple. And this is basically a lot of the iTunes radio stuff.
Right. It's just now blended in with Apple Music.
Right.
And the playlist set that those streaming stations have now,
mm-hmm.
I think are far superior to what they were when it was iTunes radio.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, I've been very pleasantly surprised. And what I've been finding is if I click into Beats One and the whatever music they're playing isn't interesting to me, then I just pick a streaming station,
right,
and go with that.
And these are DJ-less stations.
Right, right.
But they're being still presumably being human curated.
I believe so.
We don't know that for a fact, but I believe.
But I think they are because they're so much better now.
Oh, interesting. KQED is one of my featured stations. That's a local. It's the local NPR station.
Yeah, KQED. I've listened to some of their syndicated shows.
But that's not the point. The point is that they're like. Do you see that under a featured station?
For me, I believe I see. I know there was one. Hold on, let me find it. KUNC.
Is that your local station?
That's a local one.
See, that's clever. Apple's actually choosing stations according, at least some of these stations are according to our region.
Yeah, which is really cool.
That is cool. It's a good thing. I like that. I very, yeah. very much like that. And then there's the Connect tab. And the Connect tab seems a little sparse so far. So Connect is Apple's thing for artists to upload content for We the Fans.
Right.
And, you know, the kind of stuff that I'm hoping to see there, I'm hoping to see live unreleased live tracks, unreleased mixes, unreleased tracks, behind the scenes, like, you know, this is how I did something. I love seeing videos of bands actually recording music that I've listened to.
Yeah.
You know,
I enjoy that too.
The, you know, good, like the Let It Be album, the Let It Be movie. We're actually seeing this stuff being created. I love seeing that sort of thing. Interviews, fan stuff, photographs. So like, but it's kind of sparse. Like right now I have in my Connect tab, I've got Eminem, who's one of the artists I selected that I like. Sonic Youth, same thing, and Beck. So all these were three bands that I said that I liked.
And I have a lot more in mine, which is interesting. I've been Harper, Christina Perry, Leanne LaHavas.
I would guess that...
Aloe Black.
Some of that is going to be because you simply picked artists, more artists that have been involved with Connect.
That could be. Death Cab for Cutie, The Black Keys, Parachute.
And these are all albums that you, bands you said you liked?
No.
Oh. Well, all right. Well, I'm being shortchanged.
Yeah. Rufus Wainwright, the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra, Sonic Youth. And I was just picking out a few as I scanned down.
Huh.
So that's interesting. Maybe it's because I have been listening to more than you have since yesterday.
Well, I haven't heard any of these three acts on anything that I've listened to with Apple Music. So I don't know. Who knows? Nonetheless, what we have is I've got an Eminem trailer. I've got a Sonic Youth live track, and I've got a promo poster. A tour poster, and a photograph that Beck has posted. So that's three different types of content. What kind of stuff are you seeing?
Okay, there's photos, there's videos. I'm assuming something in here is music as well. Oh, yep, there's a song. Keith Goodwin from Good Old War. Has a song in there, Broken Into Better Shape. There's a video from Rufus Wainwright. The Berlin Philharmonic thing is a video interview with Sir Simon Rattle.
So, you know, it's different kinds of stuff like this that people can upload. One thing that I've long been interested in seeing more of are fan remixes of release material, which generally speaking requires the artist to make the tracks available for people to actually remix.
Yes.
And I have been, you know, I that to me is there's a lot of remixes are terrible, but a lot of them are really, really good, really, really interesting to me. And I'm hoping to see more of that sort of thing. And that's what Connect gives an opportunity to artists to easily put this stuff up. And I think it's in a better, more controlled environment than YouTube.
I agree. And probably with less vitriol than YouTube.
Well, that's true, especially since Apple. Wait, no, we do have comments. Ooh, there's comments.
Oh, I see that now.
Yeah, and you can like stuff too. See, there's a lot of...
And you can share stuff.
There's some ping going on.
Yeah, check that out.
There's some absolute ping going on.
I don't think Apple would admit that, at least not right now.
Nope. But ping, I like ping, to be honest. I always like ping. Ping shortcoming was not ping. Ping shortcoming was Apple not asking Facebook if they can do Facebook integration, and then Facebook...
snubbing them.
Yeah, saying, you didn't ask us, so we're going to cut you off.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, Connect is interesting. It's kind of sparse still, but hopefully there's going to be a lot more stuff going on there, and I'm really hoping this ends up being a key aspect of artists making new fans and fans interacting with those artists. This could be a good thing. This could be a really big thing.
I think this could be really big. Yeah.
You know what else is big?
Wait. Before I answer, what's our rating on the show today? Are we explicit or not?
Family friendly.
Family? Gee, Brian, I don't know. What's really big?
Amazon affiliates.
Do tell.
Well, we have for a long time. We've been part of Amazon's affiliate program at the Mac Observer. And if you go, we don't really have the URL set up. We're going to set up a special URL. But right now, if you go to the homepage at macobserver.com, on the right sidebar, at the bottom of the right sidebar, are affiliate links to Amazon, the Apple Store, and third one, I think. It's a good thing we had this prepared.
I know.
What are we currently listening? We're the Amazon, Mac Mall, and the Apple Store. Three great companies to buy stuff from.
Yeah.
Right? And if you shop at those three stores and you go through our affiliate links, now we embed affiliate links to products all the time. in our articles. And when you use those affiliate links, we get a little percentage for having sent them a customer.
That's true. Like if we link to the iTunes app store for some cool iPhone app.
Right.
We're using our affiliate link. So when you pay your 99 cents or $3 or whatever it costs, then
we get a little
kickback.
Yeah, for the App Store, it's a very little kickback. From Amazon, when we put Amazon links, those are affiliate links. And we get, Amazon pays us a little bit of money for having sent them a customer. And believe it or not, that's a big part of what we do here. It helps fund the recording of the show. It helps fund all the stuff that we put out in written format. If you shop at these stores, go through our affiliate links before you do your shopping.
Yeah, it makes it easier for us to cover the cost of making shows like this happen.
Yeah, and it lets us bring more content to you. And it doesn't cost you anything. You're not paying any extra. So
yeah,
so go. We would love for you to use our affiliate links. Please do. And eventually, we're going to end up having some special URLs to make it even easier. But we don't have those ready today, so we won't mention them. Other than the fact that I mentioned it.
All right, fair enough.
That's stupid. All right, so we have the Steve Jobs trailer. Steve Jobs trailer, man. I'm so excited to see this thing.
So am I. Watching the real trailer, I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Bring this on.
Exactly.
I went to see this movie.
So this is the long talked about movie licensed from based on the Walter Isaacson biography, Steve Jobs. It's the big biography that came out just a couple of months after Steve died. And it was written by Aaron Sorkin. And what he did is, I think he chose four vignettes, right? The whole thing is like centered around a Steve note, Steve Jobs keynote.
Right.
And through that particular setting, they end up presenting four key flashback moments in Steve's life.
All right. Now, what I find interesting is that I could not get through the Walter Isaacson book.
Yeah, we've talked about that. I don't know what your problem is.
My problem is Walter could not keep my interest. However, I really want to see this movie. It looks like it's going to be really good.
Right. So it was written by Aaron Sorkin. It was owned by Sony Pictures, and the whole thing just fell apart. And it was going to star Christian Bale.
And I think Christian Bale would have played Steve Jobs really well.
He would have been an amazing Steve Jobs. I'm really bummed that he didn't. But it ended up with Universal Pictures, still written by Aaron Sorkin, but it's now starring Michael Fassbender, and with Seth Rogen. I think he's, is he Woz? Is he playing Woz?
Yeah, but I believe Seth Rogen's playing Woz.
Yeah, he's not a very good Woz, but that's okay.
Well, we don't know. All we have is just a tiny little clip from the trailer. But Fassbender as Steve Jobs looks really good to me.
Well, he doesn't look like Steve, and he doesn't sound like Steve. But watching this trailer, I got Steve Jobs from his acting.
So did I. Yeah, he gave me Steve Jobs. And I know some people are looking at this and they're like, doesn't look like him. So he was miscast. And keep an open mind, people. It's about how you portray a character, not whether you can puppet or mimic a character that's been made.
Let's look at Jobs. This would be the Ashton Kutcher produced and starred event biopic.
Right.
He was Steve Jobs. As a matter of fact, he would be my second choice to have played Steve in this film to Christian Bale. He was absolutely Steve Jobs. But
yeah, maybe.
But what's his face as yeah. as the is Woz was, I thought, terrible. And I mean, it wasn't interesting. It wasn't compelling. It wasn't. It wasn't appropriate. It wasn't.
And I think that comes down to writing. If you write a character that's really bad, it doesn't matter how good you are. You can polish a turd only so much.
Right. It's true.
And if you are held back by a director, then then it's doomed.
And at the same time, Ashton, who so looked like Steve for that film and sounded like Steve for that film and certainly conveyed Steve in that film, still made for a bad film. It wasn't a good. It just wasn't good.
No, it was not. No, it was not good.
And so now we're looking at this trailer and we're seeing Michael Fassbender, who doesn't look anything like Steve and doesn't sound anything like Steve, but absolutely is conveying Steve to me from the trailer. This movie looks...
I think he's going to be an excellent Steve Jobs.
It looks really good, man. It looks really good.
I'm with you. I'm really looking forward to seeing this. Now, in the trailer, if you listen closely, there's a couple times where Michael Fassbender says something and you feel... It feels like a Steve Jobs... It feels as if it's actually Steve Jobs saying it, because he will get some of the inflection in there. The way Steve spoke, there were points where his voice would rise up in pitch and then come back down again. And there were places in the trailer where I heard that in Michael Fassbender.
Fair enough. Most of them were not, though. Most of them, he just really didn't sound like Steve at all.
And that's okay.
And people are getting hung up on that. Like we saw on Twitter just a lot of black and white, I love it or I hate it.
Yes, and people saying the character should have... See, there you go. I'm calling it a character because that's what it is. He's playing a character in a movie. That the character Steve Jobs should have been cast as someone else. And they're rattling off all these people, not based on whether or not the person can convey Steve Jobs, but whether or not they have a physical resemblance to him.
Right. You know, and I've gone back and forth... Gone back and forth with that, and it kind of goes back to when I was a kid. There was a film on the Kennedys that was on the TV,
the one TV,
yeah, the one TV, and you know, one of the three networks. And everyone talked about how much the and this is so long ago. Everyone talked about how much the guy looked like Kennedy, and that was an important thing. I mean, this. There's the school of thought that says that an actor playing a real person should look like that person. And there certainly have been innumerable examples of people who were cast because they look like someone. And then there's another group of people who have been cast because they can actually convey that person. I mean, like, again, looking at the Ashton Kutcher film, you've got the principal absolutely became Steve Jobs. Ashton Kutcher was Steve Jobs in that film, but their portrayal of Woz had nothing, didn't look like Woz, didn't even have Woz's hair. But like, why did they give him that long, weird hair?
Yeah, I don't know.
Woz never looked like that ever. And he didn't try to talk like Woz, and this was all by choice. I mean, this wasn't like accident.
Oh my God, I have Whedon stuck in my head. That's the wrong Josh.
Well, that's Joss too.
See.
Josh, yeah, professionals. We're professional.
I know why I can't get the right name in my head. It's because I was thinking about one of the times where I saw someone that was cast to play a character where there was no one else you could cast because they're that good. But then by chance, they could also really look like the character. And that was Philip Seymour Hoffman in Capote.
Right. But yeah, but Philip is also a wonderful actor.
Yes. Yeah. And he didn't need to look like Capote. It just worked out that he could. And even if he didn't look like Capote, I would have believed his Capote. Just like I think, based on the trailer, I believe Fassbender's Steve Jobs.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. And I've always gone back and forth from that. Like, why should it be important? How? I mean, it's one thing to put the actor in the appropriate clothes and to cut his or her hair in the proper way,
mm-hmm.
for him or her to adopt the right inflections and, you know, and try to convey that stuff. I mean, that's one thing, but focusing on, I don't know, it seems to me that the acting is more important.
I agree. If I can close my eyes and believe the character, then you have succeeded. And that means it doesn't matter really how they look. It's how they deliver their character to me.
Josh Gad.
Ah, there we go. Yes.
Finally, got it. Yeah, so it's interesting to see the sort of knee-jerk reaction. To me, this film looks amazing. I put it in my headline. It looks amazing. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I'm a huge Aaron Sorkin fan. I like the material. I like the book. I'm looking forward. This really makes me want to see it.
I really want to see this too. The teaser that we got to see a few months ago, that was pretty cool. And then now seeing the full on trailer, I'm in. I want to go see this.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's coming up soon-ish.
Is it November, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait. Good stuff. We have a link to it in the show notes.
Yes, we do.
If you haven't already seen it,
go check it out. I think it's really good.
Definitely check it out. All righty. Guess what? We have a show, man.
Just like that.
Just like that. Boom. Yep. Boom.
It's amazing how all the hard work every week pays off, and a show is just boom.
A show is just boom. You know what we should do, though? We should actually check real quick, see if we have any viewer mail. We're so professional.
Top men.
Let's see here. We have... Nope. No viewer mail. Fix that, folks. Send us some mail. What do you think? What do you think about this Steve Jobs trailer? What do you think about Apple Music? What do you think about... Are Jeff and I idiots?
I think we know what people think about that.
Yeah, so send us some mail. Let us know what you think, because we are always... honestly, always interested. I mean, doing a show without listeners, pointless.
That's right.
And we have tons of listeners. We actually have, for whatever reason, you folks listen to us.
Thank you.
And thank you. But now tell us what you think. Let's make this a little two-way thing here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Two-way. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. Thanks, Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And that's all for this week.
And stay subscribed, because we love you.
We do love you. And we'll see you online at the Mac Observer.